With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Abner Meres is a world champion, boxer, Olympian, sports commentator, and most importantly, dad to two little girls. Beloved by Abulaz and hardcore fans alike, Abner is a pro at entertaining the world both in and out of the ring. On Blue Wire's new podcast, On the Hook with Abner Meres, we'll hear from Abner, his family, fellow athletes, and other people who made him the boxer and the man he is today. They chat about topics like the state of boxing, Abner's journey from a kid on the streets to boxing champ, sports, music, culture, and family life. Listen to On the Hook with Abner Meres wherever you get your podcasts. Episodes in English come out on Tuesdays and episodes in Spanish out on Wednesdays. And now we'll get into this episode of the Talking Hockey Podcast.
Welcome to episode 34 of Talking Hockey Podcast. Ty, Luke, Martin, Eric, talking free agency.
Wow, that was the most unenthusiastic intro, Ty.
Can we get Luke to do that?
No. No. Hi, welcome to episode 34 of the Talking Hockey Podcast.
This is 33.
Episode
33.
Restart. It's Ty, Luke, Martin, Eric. All right. Welcome to episode 33 of the Talking Hockey Podcast. It's Ty, Luke, Martin, Eric. Still no guests to come on, but we're going to talk about free agency because we're really excited about that and lots of exciting news.
You sound pretty excited about it, Ty.
Always.
What was the most exciting deal to you?
Zach Bogosian.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I bet.
That was a pretty good deal.
You also forgot to mention the trades part, but
and trades.
Good job.
Whatever happened the past week, we're gonna talk about it.
Good. All right, Eric, where are we starting?
All right, so we'll start with the Nate Schmidt to the Vancouver Canucks. And along with that, we can, I guess, discuss the Pietrangelo signing for the Knights as well. Since
and they also dump Stastny. Don't forget about Paul Stastny.
Yeah, that's a separate deal. We'll talk about that after.
Well, that and Schmidt go together, I think, to fit Pietrangelo in.
Yeah, somewhat. Though they're still over the cap by like $3 million right now, so they still need to cut a couple guys loose before they can go into the season.
I read somewhere that the core players of Vegas are unhappy with what they're doing.
I think the core players are unhappy because they don't know who the core players are. And they're just like, oh, we'll trade Paul Stastny. Oh, we'll trade Nate Schmidt. They just don't give a They have like no loyalty to anyone, which I kind of love in a way. They're just like, oh, no. Everyone.
It's very Vegas.
It is.
They're very
It's just very Vegas.
Awesome.
All right, Martin, remember what we said before that we started, okay? Put your mouth closer to the mic. Keep it consistent.
And he's leaned back since we said that. Yeah.
He literally is incapable.
I moved the mic.
Can you aim the mic
like,
up?
Tilt it up,
mouth?
Buddy.
No. The thing's like right in there.
I don't think so, buddy.
Yeah.
This doesn't make a difference.
That does make
so
a huge
difference. Oh my God.
Okay, fine.
That's so much cleaner. That's so fine. Much cleaner.
Fine.
He's been speaking in the top of his microphone.
I swear.
Speaking into the wrong part of the microphone for like 3 months.
That could be
that 100% is the case.
Oh, interesting. My Lord. I'm so annoyed right now. I can't believe none of us noticed this before.
We never see his mic when he's recording, so I just assume this guy had a brain and was speaking into the mic.
Never assume.
Clearly, it makes it happen to you and me, right?
Man, you literally sound completely different. Like,
no wonder we were picking up his chair. That's where it was aimed.
Well, it's still going to pick that up.
Not as much.
Yeah. You had it literally facing like your waist instead of your mouth. Anyways.
I heard the Vegas players aren't happy is what I heard.
Where did you hear that from?
I read it on the Score.
I think Elliot Friedman talked about it on their pod yesterday.
31 thoughts?
It's kind of stupid. I think it's kind of stupid. They should just not complain.
They're
getting paid to play. So if you get traded and you have a no movement, that's your fault for not having no movement.
They're a team whose window is pretty short anyway. So signing Petri Angelo will help them for the next 2-3 years, but that's their window anyway.
And that
Vegas is one of the very few teams that doesn't have any prospects, even though they started out their franchise with having a ton of really good prospects, ton of picks, but they've literally just traded them all away for Pacioretty and all Stone the other and, Stone yeah. and whoever else that they've brought. Oh, Tatar, who then they traded for Pacioretty too, I guess. And all those other guys that they kind of traded in and out. So like they've been probably the most aggressive team over the last couple of years of being immediately competitive and like winning now. So it's like, it's completely in that team's nature for the move that they made, but I get why the players are like, what the fuck? Like you're just trading away. Like you're just constantly moving like key pieces in and out of the organization. I kind of get that in a sense, but at the same time, I think the players will complain about that now, but when they realize they're a better team because of it, they won't complain, right? They'll realize on the ice.
They definitely have a downgrade at center now that Sastny was traded. Their second line center is Chandler Stephenson, right?
He was already their second line center in the playoffs. So
well, still respect. He can play with those guys, but I don't think that he's going to produce the same as Stastny also is older. But I think the Jets will be happy with that trade. But like Schmidt was their top defenseman since basically they came in the league, right? Or one of the top defensemen, him, Shea Theodore, you know, those guys were their top defensemen. So it sucks to lose Nate Schmidt, but is it an upgrade to get Alex Petrangelo? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think the weird thing is that they decided they needed to address their defense when defense was clearly...
Scoring was their issue.
Yeah, when scoring was their issue. Like usually when a team loses in the playoffs, you see them overcorrect in a sense and be like, okay, this one thing that we might have lost out of because of the playoffs, and they'll go and try to like get only that aspect. And a lot of times that's a mistake because teams will just go, okay, we didn't do this in the playoffs, so therefore it must be a problem, when obviously playoffs is small sample size and all that good stuff. But like in Vegas is, yeah, exactly. Like why wouldn't they have gone and got Hall for $8 million instead?
Or even like Hoffman. Petrangelo.
I mean, I don't know. I guess Hoffman wants a 1-year deal, so I definitely would have done that. He'd look really good on their top power play unit.
Mm-hmm.
On the right side, he would look really good there. But it's weird that they address something that clearly wasn't an issue. You don't see playoff teams and cup contenders do that very often. But at the same time, it does make them a better team. So it's hard to like criticize it too much. I think the way to criticize it is, I can't believe they gave Nate Schmidt to Vancouver when they're about to have one of the worst off seasons I've seen in a long time. And all of a sudden, they just kind of save their offseason by giving them a top four defenseman for free, basically.
Yeah, I'm surprised the market for Nate Schmidt wasn't bigger.
You know what I think? I think every team wanted to squeeze Vegas a little bit more, and then Vancouver just came out and said, fuck it, we don't care.
We have fucked up this.
Yeah.
Off season, so we need to do something.
But I think like the return wasn't great, but they probably another team. I think teams were smart to say, "Hey, Vegas, screw you. We're not going to help you out."
Yeah, like, I think, you know, most teams were probably saying, "Give us something to take him." And then Benning was just like, "No, I'll give you this." And I think that's what happened. So on Benning's side, like it's hard to give him too much credit because it's clear that other teams were trying to squeeze Vegas. And then Benning kind of went out there and was like, no, I don't really care about that. So he improved his team. But at the same time, it was like, you could tell he clearly offered a lot more than other teams did, because Otherwise, Vegas wouldn't have traded him within the division, right?
I also think that like they were trying so hard. Like, they didn't need to trade Schmidt if they traded Fleury, right? They could have unloaded Stastny and they could have unloaded Fleury and they'd be fine. They were offering, like it's been reported, they were offering like a first and a second to take Fleury's contract. And no That's team insane. Is taking it unless they retain or unless they can give a contract back.
Wow.
Does Fleury only have one more year left on his
deal? He has 2 years at 7.25 or whatever.
I don't think I'd do that for a first and second round pick, too. Especially from Vegas, you know that's going to be in the 25 to 31 range, probably. Not a great pick to begin with.
Yeah, like they were trying so hard to move
him. Plus you're bailing out Vegas.
Yeah, like, they wouldn't really have had to move. They wouldn't have had to move Schmidt if they got rid of Fleury, right? Like I said.
Yeah. So, well, some team's still going to have to bail out Vegas because they still need to move whatever $2-3 million, whatever it is, from their cap. It's going to have to be a Nick Holden, Alec Martinez. I'm not sure who else is it kind of expendable on that roster right now.
It's probably Martinez.
Yeah, I'd assume it's Martinez as well.
One year left.
And I feel like Alec Martinez is probably one of the easier guys for the Knights to move just because
apparently he's
only making $4 million.
Apparently he was one of the more grumpy people about them getting...
Perfect. Remove the guy that was grumpy about it.
Exactly.
They're in a tough spot. So it's like a lot of teams are, and there are very few teams who are going to want to take contracts that have $4 million in space and want to take $4 million in space in a salary in this COVID world, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Ottawa. A good point.
Ottawa still needs to get to the fucking floor.
No, but they still need to half their guys, don't they?
It's been reported that some teams asked. Yeah, some teams asked, literally asked. They asked Gary Bettman, "What's the penalty if we don't get to the cap floor?" And that's what I've heard.
If there's no fans, I bet a lot of teams are going to want to not. There's going to be teams that are like, "Oh, I don't want to put any more money on the books." Like, because if they don't have fans, what money is coming in for half those organizations? Right, TV deals, like. How much money do the Ottawa Senators make from TV deals? Not much, I'd guess.
How many people go to Ottawa Senators games when there were fans in the stands?
That's also a good point, considering I've paid like twice. I've gone to like 6 Senators games and I've only ever paid for those tickets like twice. And I never paid more than like $20.
You know, sounds like a Jays game.
Yeah, literally. Like, because the Ottawa Senators used to set up like booths near the gym at Carlton, and they used to just give out free tickets if you give them your email.
What?
Yeah. Like, actually,
all you'd have to do is give them your email and name and they'd give you a free ticket.
That was like 40,
in Toronto you'd never.
I know, imagine Toronto doing that, like never would happen.
Like, the rich would never be at a game.
Yeah,
my buddy worked for.
Which should honestly probably be a good thing.
My buddy worked for a big company in Ottawa, and they give away tickets all the time, like all the time.
Yeah, it's it's something that's super affordable to give away, and it doesn't cost you anything because they're
Luke got to go to a Leafs game for free, 8 rows up against the Sens, and those tickets were like face value. How much were they? Like $300 maybe.
Yeah, I think around that.
300?
I think I still have my ticket somewhere. And then I went to a 300 section game, the Colorado Leafs game, and I think I paid 130.
And that's still a good deal for those tickets, too.
Yeah, I was in the corner. Oh, all right. So it was rough.
Honestly, still, for a Leafs game, $130, no matter where you sit, is pretty...
Leafs games are so much fun. Like,
yeah.
That's because... It's such a great place to have a stadium.
Exactly.
That's Ottawa Senators. Yeah. It's such a shitty night every time you go to a Senators game, especially if you don't have a car.
Like, it's awful. Right. Well, back to free agency.
Free agency. Yeah.
Luke, we're on the same page there. Eh? We got to back on track. Stop roasting the Senators.
Okay, so then the trade before, which was a complete fleecing in my opinion, is Devin Taves for 2 second round picks, Islanders to the Colorado Avalanche.
Can we just note that this is why the English language is so hard to learn? T O E W S somehow gets Taves.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, I feel bad for all English as a second language people just looking at this name alone. I didn't even know how to pronounce it.
Toewes?
toe W's? Like, what the hell is that? All right, go back to Lou Lamoriello and his shitty organization.
Hey, that's the GM of the year you're talking about.
Yeah, the GM of the year traded.
I was reading the comments because you made a post about Barry Trotz, right? Just today.
Literally just
and,
now.
Someone was saying how Lou Lamoriello was a good GM because they signed him. And then someone chirped back being like, name one signing that Lou Lamoriello did that's good. And then the comment under is, he signed Barry Trotz.
Which kind of proved the entire post point.
It proved the entire post point, but it was also funny because the guy was trying to say, no, Lou Lamoriello has no good signings, but that's his only good signing.
Because look at the guys he signed, like Pageau, $5 million for 7 years or 6 years.
Disrespect Sens boy Pageau like that.
Brock Nelson, six years at $6 million. Anders Lee, $7 million. Casey Cizikas, although I don't think he signed the Casey Cizikas deal. Leo Komarov, hey,
don't talk shit
million.
About Casey. It's okay. I know his brother.
Like, he's completely cash strapped the team. And they lost a top pairing defenseman for them because of it. And I love how some Islanders fans are trying to galaxy brain this into Devin Toews actually wasn't that good after having arguments with me for years about how he's a top 20 or top 30 defenseman. And the second classic. He's, it's like a classic fan move. It's every single time a player's gone and leaves your team, suddenly he's not as good as he was with your team. Like, Islanders have one of the best defenses in the world. It's not just Barry Trotz, but then the second he leaves, he wasn't good. He was okay. He turns over the puck a lot. You should have seen him in the playoffs. Oh, you mean the playoffs where they went to the conference final, that playoffs? Like, it's so ridiculous.
Their defense
was such
looks
a bad move.
Very bad now. Like, that's
yeah, and Barry Trotz is going to have to do some work with that defense. And that's still assuming that he gets Pulock under contract, because he's still going to have to pay Barzal $9 million or $8 million or something on a long-term deal, and they only have $8.9 million in cap space.
And now we'll be back after a word from our sponsors. The wait is finally over. Football is back. You might not be at the game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Even though sports had a break, your business didn't. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier, like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the most important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/podcast. This is your best offer available everywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions may apply. Offer is valid through September 30th. And now we'll get back into the show. There are very few coaches who I'd be like, yeah, you know what? I would fire my current coach to definitely get this guy. But Barry Trotz is one of them.
Yeah, there's probably 3 or 4 coaches in the league where I would say that. And Barry Trotz is one of them for sure.
Yet Gerard Gallant is still unhired, but that's besides the point.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I'm surprised no other coaches were fired.
Anyway.
That is true. I don't get it.
Yeah, so the Islanders they got to trade somebody else, and it's going to be like someone like, I think Casey Cizikas is making like $3 million.
Yeah, but how are they going to trade Cizikas making $3.35 million?
Have you seen I saw a chart. Have you seen his shot suppression numbers?
That's true. He is one of the best fourth line centers in the league. I'm not arguing that. I'm just saying how many teams are going
to
pay
line
center $3.35 million in a league
year.
In a flat cap world where Ryan Murray, who was making $4 million as a top four defenseman, somehow got traded for a fifth round pick.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, the Islanders are definitely getting worse this offseason, no matter what, because they're going to have to trade someone valuable, and they already lost a top four.
They already
defenseman.
Did. Yeah.
They already got worse, and they're going to have to get worse some other way, too, because, again, they have aging players on the roster. Boychuk's making $6 million. He's 36. Nicoletti's 25. He's 29, sorry. His best years are behind him. Two more years at 5.5. Thomas Hickey's $2.5 million, and he's 31, so...
Thomas Hickey didn't even play this year.
Well, now he's going to have to play. Now he's going to have to play because they don't have Taves anymore. Well, maybe not. They might have someone else who can start.
I hear that they're going to bring back Andy Green as well.
Oh, God.
That's what Elliot said. Elliot Moose.
And then somehow some fans will turn that into somehow upgrading on Taves with Andy Green. And I don't know. But, like, I loved how I got so many messages earlier, even a couple weeks ago before free agency and everything, saying, oh, no, the Islanders are just going to move Leo Komarov and Nick Leddy and Johnny Boychuk to make room for all these guys. And now it's – I mean, I don't need to brag about being right on this because I feel like it was fairly obvious at the time that they weren't going to be able to do it. But now it's obvious that
– How are you going to be able to – they're not going to be able to trade old man Boychuk at this point, right? Impossible.
No, I think that's you're gonna have to give up a first and second round pick or something. Like, if Vegas couldn't get rid of Fleury at $7 million, how are they gonna get rid of Boychuk at $5 million without offering a substantial amount, right?
Yeah.
Get your hands on that Islanders 2021 first round pick if you're a smart team.
Yeah.
Like, actually.
They probably can't replicate this year.
Or did they trade that to Ottawa?
No, they haven't.
No, they haven't. They traded their second round pick, I think.
Their second round.
Yeah.
I say that a team like Ottawa should take, like, Andrew Ladd from them with the first and second.
But that's three more years, dude.
Yeah. Do you think Ottawa's going to be competitive in the next 3 years?
Hey, Eugene said today they're winning a cup. They're winning a cup in
in 4 years. So you're going to need that cap space if you're winning that.
If Ottawa Senators win a cup before the Leafs, I might just kill myself.
if the Ottawa Senators win a cup in the next 4 years, I would, like, I don't understand how that's even possible.
I'm not even talking in the next 4 years, but if the next 4 years, I will definitely kill myself.
Martin,
Colorado's had an off season and they didn't even sign anyone.
I know,
they're just fleecing people with trades.
So I had a post on, like, the winners and losers of free agency, and people kept commenting Colorado, and I'm like, it was hard for me to put them there when they didn't sign a player. They are a winner of the offseason, I guess, but it's hard to put them as a winner of free agency without having signed a
player. I wonder why they're not doing anything.
I mean, I guess they decided they didn't need...
What do they have to do?
They didn't need to sign Taylor Hall because they got Devin Taves, and now I don't think they have the cap space to bring anyone else really in. I think they have like $5 or $6 million left.
They have six.
Six mil? But do they have anyone else they need to sign? They got Nishushkin,
Yost,
Graves.
And Vlasov Kamenev?
Kamenev? Yeah, that's the guy they got from Ottawa, isn't it?
Nashville.
Yeah.
They still have to sign
So they don't have any cap space left, basically.
They have no cap space.
Yeah, because Taves is going to make $5 million plus, probably. $5 million.
Yost will probably make two or something.
Yeah, he'll probably get a raise.
I'm looking at the signings right now, and I just wanted to point out that Boston signed Jacob Zorboril, their terrible draft pick. Zorboril. They actually signed their terrible draft pick from a while ago, so they must feel good about that.
Good for them.
Jake Allen one. Oh, Jake Allen was $5.75 million total, not per year.
Yeah, no, it's two.
When
it's
I
like
read
2.8
it, I thought it was
something.
AAV.
Yeah, when I read it, I thought that too, and I was like, I was about to lose it, and then I saw
Gallagher just resigned. 2.8.
Yeah, so yeah, Gallagher also resigned 6.5 for 6 years, but he has
one. Talk about the Taylor Hall one.
Yeah. You got us off track. Oh no, wait. We should finish trades first.
Yeah, I thought we were talking
about trades and then
signings.
Yeah. Come on, guys. I'm trying.
This guy's going to get so mad at us. God damn. He's going to lose his mind.
And our one harsh critic.
NCY Ranger, whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Okay, so New Jersey Devils acquire Andreas Johansson.
No, you skipped the Colorado Anderson. Trade.
What do you mean, skip the... Oh, Brandon wait, Saad. Sorry. Brandon Saad for Zadorov, and then two added DHL players, basically. They're kind
Ty,
of
Ty, what's the sad joke you like? The Saad joke you like?
Oh,
what's
the Saad? Saad joke? Yeah, they lost the Saad trade three times. They traded Saad three times and lost the trade every time.
It's actually pretty impressive. You have to give them credit for the consistency, you know?
And the Blackhawks, you want to talk about mad players? The Blackhawks are mad.
Yeah, if you think Vegas is mad, Blackhawks are definitely mad.
They're pissed.
Crawford gone and Saad gone.
That's Tibbs, like, running mate right there, Brendan Saad. Like, that's the guy he played with.
They love trading running mates, Panarin and Saad.
They're just like, no, Kane, Tibbs, we don't want you to be happy here.
Oh, and they before firing Quinville, they fired his assistant coaches who were, like, his boys.
Yeah. Yeah.
Way back in the day. So they just like getting rid of people's buddies.
The thing is, it wouldn't be a bad thing if they're making these moves and then they turned out well, but they never turned out well.
They're making these moves and not doing anything.
Like, that's the worst part. If they, I think the core would be a little bit more happy if they were winning the trades. You know what I mean? If they traded Brendan Saad and won the trade, I think they wouldn't have, they probably wouldn't have still been happy, but they probably would have been a little bit more happy. But they got Nikita Zadorov, who is just a body. He's just a big...
They lost their other body and they lost their other body, though. They traded Olli Maatta, so he's the Olli Maatta replacement.
So they traded a Olli Maatta for a 6... How big is Zadorov? 6'5"? 6'4"?
6'5", yeah.
6'5"? Yeah, so a 6'5 defenseman who can skate okay, but can't pass, can't move the puck, can't do anything, basically. He can just hit people really hard and take a lot of penalties. That's his specialty, is basically my summation of his game. He just takes a lot of penalties, doesn't draw a lot, and then hits people hard. And the Blackhawks thought that was worth Brendan Saad, apparently.
Well, listen, the Blackhawks beat the Edmonton Oilers. Never forget.
Oh, yeah. So, therefore, they are an elite team because nobody else can beat the Oilers.
Well, Oilers fans didn't think so.
That's also a good point.
Yeah. All right. Moving on to
But just to add in to the Chicago thing, they also lost Crawford to New Jersey as well.
Yeah, I already mentioned that.
Did you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't hear that.
Well, they have no goalie.
Because you never listen.
I'm sorry, Luke. I'll work on my listening skills.
They have Malcolm Subban.
It's Malcolm Subban is situation.
Oh, my God. Malcolm Subban's, like, terrible.
Who are they running? Colin Delia and Malcolm Subban?
Malcolm Subban.
Delia or Delia?
Delia.
Delia?
Delia.
Okay, so both of those are wrong.
They got to bring back that the emergency backup goalie, Scott Foster.
And their defense is awful. So... this is not good.
Yeah, the Chicago. I think they're definitely going for a Detroit type of situation right now. Finish bottom three.
Oh yeah,
and then hope they win the lottery or something like that.
Taves and Kane are gonna lose their fucking minds.
And the other thing is Chicago has it rough because, like, Kane and Taves, in 2 years when they're coming out of a rebuild theoretically, aren't gonna be very good players. Unfortunately,
Duncan Keith is also going to be 42 years old, basically.
Yeah, and he'll still be making $6 million, and Brent Seabrook will still be on his like $8 million deal. So
good for them.
Yeah, you know what? Honestly, respect to the players for getting their money, but poor Chicago. Although I don't feel too bad because they still have 3 cups. So
yeah,
who cares? Sucks. Honestly,
this
who
is
cares?
What you deserve. This is what you deserve for winning.
If the Leafs win a cup in my lifetime, I don't give a shit. After that,
this is what you deserve for winning and then not making great moves.
Yeah, see,
you paid guys. I was listening to somebody talking about how a contract is earned based on previous stuff, which is when you look at stuff, that is how contracts are based, but contracts should be based on future.
Yes. So. Well, that, and that's the issue, right? Because you compare a contract in like a normal work setting. Like if you pay a 40, if you give a big contract to a 40-year-old in a normal work setting who's performed well over the previous whatever years, that's a good bet because your work performance probably doesn't change. But in the NHL, your work performance is highly based off of your age. Yeah.
Yeah, physical ability.
Yeah, exactly. Which is a lot of it is determined by age. Your physical peak is what, like 26 or something like that, and after that, it's basically downhill from there, right? So,
damn, bro, I have never been at my peak.
Hey, none of us have hit our peak yet. We have time.
I mean, even at my peak, it will be a pretty low point. I'm pretty sure I could get a lot healthier.
We'll work on it.
All right, boys. If we keep going at this pace, we'll never finish this podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so quicker.
Luke's
okay,
hungry.
So New Jersey Devils, Toronto Maple Leafs trade, it literally does not matter.
Doesn't matter.
Joey Anderson.
I don't really know anything about Joey Anderson, but he's an okay player. He probably plays fourth line.
But you literally took the idea of the Twitter thread of Rachel Dory and put it on your story.
Yeah, that's what I said that in the story though.
I know.
Yeah, at least I was just like, credit.
I like
Ty. I was just like, I don't know anything about him, so I'm just gonna say what Rachel Dory said about him, and I'm gonna screenshot it. I wanted to screenshot it, but the thread was too long to fit on my screen. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to type out what she said because I trust her.
So the thing is that it's impressive that the Leafs managed to get his cap of, what, $4 million off the books entirely for a guy
who's less than $4 million.
Yeah, whatever. For a guy who's making league minimum and can play, right?
Yeah, they did a good job. Like the Kapanen and the Johnsson trades, considering how much they got for those two players in a world where like no teams want to take on cap hit, it's very impressive, I'd say.
You basically had a good offseason.
Yeah. Like getting
except maybe Bogosian and Simmons for Ty and whatnot. But
yeah. But other than that. But anyways, I think it was a really impressive job by Dubas. So then
Austin Watson to Nashville.
Nobody cares about that. Irrelevant trade. Yeah. Paul Stastny. So that's an interesting.
We already talked about it.
Yeah, we talked about it. Did we talk about it?
Dump. Yeah,
we talked
dump.
About clearing cap. Yeah. Dump.
Oh, okay.
They
yeah.
need
and
to
it,
dump
and
him.
He'll fit on. He'll fit really well in the second line for Winnipeg with Ehlers and Laine. Like
yeah. Did, so he played well. He played well when he was there when they rented. They got him as a rental a couple years back in that playoff
run.
So
they killed it together that line.
Yeah. So
maybe Laine's staying now.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, Laine's going to be happy now. He doesn't have to play with Brian Little.
When Winnipeg just needs to dump some cap because they still have a couple signings they need to make, but they'll probably lose like a third or fourth liner making a couple $1 million. So New Jersey Devils again. Ryan Murray for a fifth round pick. Absolute steal, but it's just a cap dump for the Blue Jackets.
Yes.
I just thought it was weird because I didn't think the Blue Jackets needed to dump cap.
Well,
a lot of teams have internal caps, man. No one's going to be spending to the cap unless you're a super rich team.
Well, also, the Blue Jackets apparently were in on a lot of the big names and just didn't.
So that's probably why they did it.
Yeah. Like, apparently, Taylor Hall, they were like heavy in.
That makes sense.
I don't know. Man, can we get to Taylor Hall? Because I don't know what the frick he's thinking.
But at the same time, like,
it kind of makes sense.
Columbus got worse because of that trade.
The Ryan Murray.
Like it was just, they have a lot of defensive guys in their system. So I guess that means Savard isn't moving.
Ish.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyways.
Eric Branson. Martin, how are you feeling about that one?
It's pretty nothing.
All right. We need to shut down the team's top line. Zaitsev. Good Branson, get out there, buddy.
Hainsey.
Oh my
god.
Did they
re-sign Hainsey or
no, they didn't.
Hainsey's a free agent?
Yeah, I think so.
No one's rushing to sign a 40-year-old man?
No.
I guess not.
Mike Babcock is.
Mike Babcock's not getting signed, so no one's in a rush to sign Mike Babcock either.
Yeah, it looks like that, eh?
Okay, let's go over some of the all the trades.
That's all the trades.
Okay, that's so all. We're missing one. We're missing Elias Anderson for a second round pick from.
Yeah. Okay.
That's
whatever.
The draft, isn't it? I think we talked about that for the draft.
That was on the draft.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I don't listen to the episodes I'm not on.
The only
or the ones you're on
talked about was Nudivara for Cliff Poo.
Okay, whatever. Move on.
Yeah, it's irrelevant. Trade. Yeah.
Pee-pee-poo-poo check.
Pee-pee-poo-poo check.
You're so mature, Luke.
Come on, guys.
Thank you.
We talked about Pietrangelo. We think that's a good short-term deal for Vegas. That's our thoughts on it, right?
That doesn't address the main issue, but yeah.
The long term isn't great.
I think that their owner really wants, like, sometimes he pushes really hard for big signings, but they're an old team. They're going to be an old team, and they have guys who are locked in for a while now who are turning 30 or older.
Yeah, the Vegas is very win now. Like, they have to. They don't have an option.
They have to.
But Taylor Hall, who was shocked when they saw you signing with Buffalo? Raise your hand.
I don't think anyone.
I was shocked, but like after hearing it explained, like I guess this year was not great. His long-term deals were not optimal, and he wanted to get into the best situation and get the most points.
And still get paid for this year.
So playing alongside Eichel seems like his best option for getting the most fucking points.
Yeah, because there's not many teams in the league where he'd be automatically given a top line role like he will with the Sabres. That's the thing, right? Like he could have went to Colorado, but he's not replacing Landeskog on that top line.
Like he can easily. Eichel can get like 110 points this year, and Hall will be in the 90s. Like,
yeah,
and that wouldn't be unheard of.
Yeah, that wouldn't be crazy. I'm
shocked.
I honestly don't think that Hall and Eichel are going to play well together, but that's just me. Because they're two guys who drive their lines. I think that he's a more of a fit with Eric Staal, but that's just me. What do I know?
Oh, I think Eichel's going to push hard to play with him.
Yeah, I feel like Eichel's had...
Yeah, Eichel's best line mate.
Yeah, Eichel's going to be like, if you don't put me with Hall, I will walk.
It's also Hall's best center.
Don't do it. And it'll be the best center Hall's ever played with.
Yeah.
Don't understand. Like, I understand wanting to get the most points, but why go to a high stress? Like, they're hockey crazy down there. It's still a high pressure market. It's still, you're worth Eichel, but like your mental health seems to be going in the shitter no matter what. Like, why not go somewhere that you can at least enjoy yourself on a human level and be on a team? Like, maybe 4 million in Ares or in Colorado for 1 year or something. Like, you don't need $8 million.
$8 million is $8 million.
Huge difference. When you look at the amount
this year.
Yeah,
he's only making like 4 mil of it.
No, so he's making less than 4 mil of that because with taxes alone, it's going to be like 4 to 5 mil, and then on top of that, you're just going to get like a 20. Yeah, you're only making it's 30% that's retained by the league this year in escrow, right? Yeah. So he's going to be making like $3 million this year off of $8 million.
So all these teams offering him like $6 million for 2 years were not great options for Taylor Hall.
Yeah.
Especially,
I think
it's a
good move, and he gets to be near Ontario, where he's from, and all that kind of good stuff too.
Apparently, he has a connection to the coach.
Yeah, he used to play. He used to play with Ralph Kruger in Edmonton the 1 year he was their coach.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah, so I guess I think it is the best deal for his long term, like success in the sense of his long term financial future. It's probably the best deal for him, but it's also not the best deal for success wise. Unless he gets traded at the deadline.
But that's not even a given.
He might have some deal that, I mean, it could be a given.
What team is going to, like, they didn't work out for Arizona when they traded for him already last year.
No, that's a nonsense reason. Hall wasn't the reason.
He also has a
full. Taylor Hall is not the reason.
Okay, but he has a full no move clause.
Yeah, so, and then
he can choose.
Probably. Yeah, so the thing is, he'll choose where he wants to go. If Buffalo's, we're going to send you to Arizona again or some shit, he can say no. But if they're we're going to send you to Colorado, he's going to be like, okay, well, yeah, sure, why not? They have a legit chance at the cup.
But he gets to choose if he wants to or not. That's the thing. So he can say, but that will then limit what Buffalo can can trade him for.
Sure, but they won't care. It's free assets for them.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be teams at the deadline that are going to look at Taylor Hall and be like, that is what puts us over the edge.
There could be a team, though, but that, like, he could be a guy. It happened in the MLB a couple of years ago with Madison Bumgarner, right, who's a pitcher. He's played for the Giants. It was his last year of his deal. They weren't going anywhere. They tried to trade him, but he blocked all the trades to the contending teams. He only said he would allow a trade to, you know, these teams who were like in the bottom and weren't going to trade for him.
Okay, but then that's what Taylor Hall wants to do. Then that's what he'll do.
Then they're not going to trade him. If he's saying, okay, all right,
I think Buffalo's
I'm
okay.
I'm not going to accept a trade.
I think Buffalo's okay not trading him.
Yeah, why would Buffalo care if he just stays? Then he stays and they keep Eichel a little bit happier for a little bit longer.
Hmm.
Like either way, it's a win for Buffalo and Taylor Hall.
This year is playoffs or bust for Eichel. You can't fire the GM again. You can't fire another coach for Jack Eichel. They have to make the playoffs this year.
Yeah, but there's nothing the Buffalo Sabres can do that makes the playoffs this year for them. There's nothing they could do. They could go sign Taylor Hall. They could have went and signed Alex Pietrangelo, and they still probably wouldn't have made the playoffs this season with those two guys. If we're being honest and looking at that roster, there's not much that they could do. Maybe if they went and signed Pietrangelo, maybe if they signed Hall, maybe if they completely switched up the bottom six from what they currently have to a completely different set of players, maybe then they make the playoffs. But outside of that, they weren't making it anyways.
I think we're downplaying how much of an improvement Eric Staal is for Buffalo.
Oh, and he's a huge improvement.
Oh, but have you seen their bottom six?
They got a way worse bottom six now. They're gonna have to play the top line
25
minutes a night each if they want any chance.
I think the Taylor Hall is a win for Buffalo, but they also signed Cody Eakin to a terrible deal.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They completely fucked themselves over. They lost Larson. They lost. Jimmy Vesey. They lost a bunch of guys on their bottom six who were decent bottom six players, and then they replaced them with Cody Eakin and whoever the hell else that they replaced him with. Like, they'd not do a good job of
Tobias Reeder.
I think
Tobias
that
Reeder is going to get just annihilated every night along with Cody Eakin.
I think that their improvements up front, like, and if Skinner comes back and can score 30, 40 goals again this year rather than his, you know, 5 goals last year.
Skinner's only
going to
put up 40 goals or whatever if he plays with Eichel. So maybe you put Skinner with Eichel and then you put Hall on his own line, lets him drive that second line. They look a lot better, but they aren't a playoff team.
I could see it. I could see it. Especially
them being a playoff team?
Okay.
Who do you think they're ahead of in their division right now? Assuming it's the Atlantic division.
Yeah, that's
assuming
what I was
it's
say.
The division. Okay, yeah. So if it's an all-Canadian division, is that what you're saying?
I was going to say, like, if it's an all-Canadian division and, you know, Toronto's not there, Montreal's not there, Boston's going to be not so great with Pasternak and Marchand out for, you know, the next, for the foreseeable future, for at least a
Buffalo's
month or two.
Buffalo's still not better
season
than them. Like, Boston's still a better team.
Yeah, 100%.
They'd lost Krug. They have no...
Krug isn't a gigantic loss.
Their defense is bad.
Krug is a huge loss.
Yes.
He's a huge loss on the power play. I think you're overstating how big of an impact he has.
They've lost half of their power play then, for if you're counting Pasternak and Marchand.
Yeah,
out.
But they'll be back after a month or whatever.
Like, they need a D.
Best case
they
scenario.
Need a D, man.
They also
yeah, they
lost Chara.
Need a D. But there are still decent defensemen available in free agency right now. Like, they can go get, like, I don't know. I don't have a list of the free agents still available on me right now.
They're
but
not
they
replacing
go get a Krug.
Guy.
No, they're not going to get a guy.
Obviously
they're not
going
to get a guy as good as Krug, for sure. The defense definitely needs some work. I don't think there's anyone that can argue that. But,
no.
Yeah. I don't see how Buffalo. I still don't see how Buffalo is a playoff team. Assuming it's the Atlantic Division, they're not better than Tampa. They're not better than the Leafs. They're not better than Boston, unless you see a full collapse happening for Boston.
They're not even better than Montreal.
Yeah, they're not better than Montreal. They're probably
on
not better than Florida.
On par with Florida, maybe.
I don't even know if I'd say on par with Florida. It depends what Florida does with the rest of their offseason. Yeah, because Hoffman, Dadonoff, yeah, those are huge pieces for them, so I'll go with that. So maybe they're better than Florida, if you're optimistic. And assuming that Bobrovsky has another year like he did last year, basically. So, yeah.
They're going to surprise people, all right? You can mark this down.
I feel like we say that every year, though. Every year, people are like, oh, Boston might surprise a little bit this year.
Buffalo.
And then they don't.
Buffalo. And they never do. They just constantly fail because they never – because we always look at the top of the lineup and ignore the bottom of the lineup. We always look Eichel. We look Jeff Skinner. We look at Sam Reinhardt. And we're like, okay, you know what? They have some guys. And then nobody goes past the second line and goes, they have Cody Eakin as a third line center. They have – Let's do a
throwback to, I think it was 2018, where they were first place in the division at the end of October, like the first month of the season. Like, look, Buffalo's legit. Look, they're such a legit team. And then they were like bottom five in the league by the end.
That's Buffalo and the Montreal Canadiens. There was like 2 years in a row where the Canadiens jumped off to like 13-1 streaks. And everyone's like, oh, the Canadians are here. They're sick. And then they just completely flopped.
I think the Canadians are not a lot better. I think they're better.
They're definitely better. They're definitely better than Buffalo. There's no doubting that.
No, I just meant overall. Yeah. Like their team's better now.
Yeah, it is. Okay, but anyways, moving on. From that, so Brendan Gallagher, 6 years, 6.5. That's a good deal.
It doesn't really count.
What about Josh Anderson?
That's an awful deal. I don't know what the hell they were doing there. That was incredible. We talked about that in the group chat, though, right?
Yeah.
How many times have you ever seen a player have a 2.4 goal year or 2 goal 4 point year? And have the worst season of their career and then get that big of an extension after. Has that ever happened before? Like, I legitimately can't think of any time that's ever happened.
Well, he was really hurt. So
I know, but that's what I'm saying.
The year before, if you're basing off the year before, when he was 24, he almost had 30 goals, or he did have 30 goals?
I think he had 27.
So, as long as he... Bar injury, he's pretty good.
Bar injury. He had a shoulder surgery, man. So we all know that once players have shoulder surgeries, they have constant issues. Tear-sanko-less. Yeah. Like there's a very good chance that he reaggravates that injury like three more times.
But he's a good player when he's playing.
I know. I agree. Like I wanted him on the Leafs for the longest time. Like for like 2 or 3 years now, I've been like, well, I could really use a Josh Anderson in Montreal. Could definitely use a Josh Anderson. There's no doubting that. But how do you sign a guy to a 7-year deal after shoulder surgery after the worst year of his career at a significant raise? It's just mind boggling that happened. Like that never happens in the NHL. You'd think after that kind of year, like teams aren't giving Taylor Hall money right now because he had one bad season.
Yeah, but it's pretty crazy. Mark Bergevin still has a job. Like honestly,
it's quite impressive.
It is impressive.
It's pretty crazy.
Like, there's so like Montreal could be so much better than what they are right now, in my opinion. If they completely changed up their strategy,
if they just
got rid of Bergevin, brought in a GM that had a long term strategy for the team instead of like flip flopping everywhere. I don't know. Yeah, I feel like they had.
I think they're going to be a decent team this year. If you want to talk about surprise, it could be Montreal.
I think Montreal
is Carey Price doing pretty well, Jake Allen not shitting the bed, Shea Weber not aging too bad,
him Jeff and Petrie
not aging bad, and they could probably have a good year.
Yeah, they made some pretty good deals.
They don't look especially like with right?
Toffoli.
And Suzuki.
Toffoli's a big ad.
Suzuki's an X factor, I feel like.
Yeah, if he performs like he did in the playoffs, then they have a legit second line.
Center.
Yeah, they have a legit second line center behind that first line.
So let's talk quickly about another Canadian team then. The Calgary Flames, and we can also bring in the Vancouver Canucks because they had a bit of a two guys from the Canucks moved over to the Flames. If you want to talk about that quickly.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what the Flames were thinking by signing Tanev to that deal. It's like they just didn't see him play this past season. I don't know. And then they just ignored the fact that he, every year before this past season, he's missed like, what, 15 to 20 something games? Like clockwork, basically, every single year. And then they decided, oh, we want 4 more years of that at, I think, 4.5 something million.
They could have just re-signed Brody, but...
They could have re-signed Brody for $500,000 more, who basically never misses games. He's a far better player.
So, Elliot Friedman talked about that on the podcast yesterday.
It's so a good I guess, thing Martin listens to this, eh?
Yeah, all right. This is the value. Martin, probably the most educated one here.
Martin, have you ever listened to the Talking Hockey podcast?
No.
Why record what you were there for? Or why listen to what you were there for?
Because it's funny, man.
I tossed a download for us.
Stop doing that.
Why?
It's useless. It means nothing.
Oh,
it's just okay. I mean, it's fine. I don't really care. But if you just download it and don't listen, it's just like, oh, hey, we got to download.
Stop doing that. Do it again. And then he's like, well, actually, you could do it. It's fine. It doesn't matter.
Everyone should go download our podcast so that we get more revenue.
Yes, you should.
Okay.
Well, Eric hoards all the money.
Hey. I mean, technically, it's all just in a PayPal account. I haven't actually touched any.
What they were saying yesterday on the pod was, think about this. If you're in a contract negotiation with your current employer, and they lowball you, well, you think they lowballed you. You think you're worth more. You hit the open market. And the open market's telling you you're pretty much worth what the team paid you, what wanted to pay you. Are you going to go back to that team? No, probably not.
No.
Yeah. You're going to move on. So I guess they probably offered TJ Brody around what the Leafs offered him. But he said no.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, I want to test it.
And mad respect to the boy. Mad respect to the man for coming home.
And he probably got more signing bonuses and all that from Toronto.
That's what they think happened. This is what Friedman thinks happened with like a lot of the Vancouver guys, like Tanev, Toffoli, Stetcher. Like he thinks a lot of their contracts were very similar from Vancouver to what they got, but they said no. Because they thought they got lowballed.
Yeah, I think I will give GMs credit. It was probably very hard to value players in this offseason because value, like as we've talked about, values are all over the place.
Yes.
Ryan Murray going for a fifth round pick and then Kapanen somehow going for a first and a really good prospect and another NHL player. And like just values are just all over the place and nobody knows what anything is worth. So I can see why Vancouver and the Flames might have had issues valuing how much they should offer their free agents. So I do give some slack to that, I guess.
Wow, Eric being nice to general managers, that's
I know.
Odd.
I'm just feeling generous today, guys. Okay. I'm in a positive, good mood. Didn't have work today.
They got their goalie though. And that's been Calgary's like biggest problem since Kiprusoff left pretty much.
You gotta hope that Markstrom's good though. Basically,
you gotta
hope that
Markstrom's 2 years. Yeah, because if he doesn't, ooh boy,
yes,
another $6 million contract on that team that isn't performing.
Like, what are the odds?
Tandem
of both
not
of those
performing. You'll what?
What are the odds on both of those getting bought out? You know, in the next year or two.
I mean, I'm probably not 2 years, but there's a very good chance both. Their free agent deals get bought out.
Yeah. We're in Vancouver.
And there's also...
what I was going to say is like Vancouver lost all these guys and they didn't add anybody until Schmidt.
I mean, it's probably a good idea that Vancouver lost all those guys because realistically they shouldn't be signing Markstrom to that deal. They shouldn't be signing Tanev to that deal. The Toffoli deal they probably should have signed, but... Yes. Given their cap situation, they probably couldn't have signed it.
It sounds like he wanted to go to Montreal. Like he really wanted to go.
And if that's like the best offer that he was getting, though, it just shows how shitty the market is for forwards. If you're a forward in this free agent market, you're fucked.
Well, I mean, I what think shows what showed it us is the... like Hoffman and Dadonov still don't have contracts.
Yeah, and that's Taylor Hall only got 1 year at $8 million.
Exactly. Yeah, and... it's a pretty bad year.
But like, I feel like the Vancouver would have paid Toffoli more than that if they could possibly somehow fit that deal into their long-term cap structure. But like, they only have $2 million in cap space right now, and they still have to sign Jake Virtanen and Adam Gaudette. And on top of that, they're still paying Antoine Roussel and Jay Beagle $3 million. They're still paying Michael Ferland $3.5 million, and all those deals are for 2 years plus. They're still paying Louis Eriksson $6 million for the next 2 years. So they kind of screwed themselves into a situation where they can't pay Toffoli. Because if they didn't have to pay those guys, 100% they would have kept Toffoli, right? And maybe even Markstrom. Oh, and Tyler Myers at $6 million. Yeah.
The big question is, where is big free agent signing Frédéric Gauthier going?
That's a good question. There's going to be so many guys that don't get contracts at all. It's going to be insane because there's no AHL season, it looks like. There's going to be so many guys that every other offseason would have gotten a 1 or 2 year deal that just don't, that have to go to Europe or Russia.
Or they'll have to sign on like really team like 700.
I mean, I don't think NHL organizations will even want to give those contracts out right now, right? If they're not bringing in any revenue, like how many of those teams are going to be like, oh, we're going to add extra revenue for a player that's probably not going to play a game for us?
Yes.
Right. I bet there's a lot. There's gonna be a lot of players heading to Europe, or the KHL, or wherever else. Yeah. Oh, those are the only two.
Market's flooded. Bad time to be an athlete.
They should be going right now because they're open.
Yeah, I think a lot of players are still hoping that they get NHL deals or something. Because
apparently, that Montreal guy Charles Houdon, who's an RFA, has said, "Fuck it, I'm going right to the." Europe, Swiss League, I think.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it doesn't look like there's a space in Montreal for him anyways. Like they just added two new wingers to the team.
And we're definitely going to get paid. Money. Like you're getting money.
Yeah.
Which you so not guaranteed this year. Like AHL might not even be a thing this year.
Yeah, so if they got an AHL contract, would they even get the AHL money? I don't know.
The ECHL, they had to like have fundraisers to pay guys what they were owed. Like honestly, that's how it worked.
Well, it's
kind of sad.
It is.
Well, it doesn't even look like the OHL is going to happen this year, right? Probably not. And that's why it was really interesting watching the draft and seeing which teams drafted a lot from Europe and Russia and everything. Like teams like the Leafs. Did the Leafs grab anyone from the CHL?
Yeah, I think they grabbed one guy.
I think they only grabbed one guy from the CHL. Every other person was Russian or European. So like they clearly thought a lot about the whole no playing in the CHL type thing.
I think I said. Sorry, I interrupt.
No.
I think I said if you're a smart team, you'd take the Islanders first round pick for 2021, but if you're a smart team, you'd also take Vancouver's first round pick for 2021.
Yeah, I agree, because if without goaltending this next season, they could have some real issues.
Vancouver better not give that thing up. Holy fuck.
Benning thinks that his team's good.
Clearly. They love trading their picks, man.
That'd be a mess. Like,
have they had a first round pick the last 2 years?
Quinn Hughes, I think, was their last. Oh, no, they did. They had Vasily Podkolzin, 2018. Mm-hmm. 2019.
Yeah, so the last two years they haven't, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah, so he doesn't mind trading them away. But anyways, continue with the free agent signings.
I think the last team I want to talk about is the Leafs, obviously.
No.
Wayne Simmons, Zach Bogosian. I read in 31 Thoughts that Zach Bogosian was going to be a Leaf in February after he was released by Buffalo.
Yeah, I read that too, that and then apparently happened. the Zamboni driver loss happened, and they didn't want him anymore or something.
They're like, "Yeah, sorry, we're going a different direction here."
That's hilarious. They're like, oh, we can't make our team worse by signing you, so we're not gonna do that. I think that was their reasoning. Oh wait, we should talk about Edmonton, because Edmonton had an interesting couple signings there.
Puljujärvi came back.
Puljujärvi came back, which is gonna be, yeah, I was surprised by that too, but I guess he had real issues with the last management group, not so much this one. Because he said he didn't never want to play for the Oilers again, right?
So, well, when a guy
did you actually say
sign
that
a deal,
I thought
when a guy
just
sits
like
out
rumor.
The season, it's what? Because he sat out
I don't
the
know
season,
if,
dude.
I don't remember if he legitimately just said I'm never playing for them again, or if that was just like what was rumored to have been said in closed door room or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, it's surprising. But then they went and signed Tyson Barrie to a deal. They went and signed Kyle Turris to a deal, and then they somehow brought back Mike Smith. Which I didn't think was happening.
That was hilarious. They lost out on Markstrom, so they said, you know what? We still need that upgrade in net. Let's bring Mikey back.
Yeah. Very.
And they got Tyler Ennis back, which is a fan favorite.
Yeah, Eric, I like Eric, the Tyler Ennis deal.
Don't you always say that's easy? The easiest thing to do is teach defense?
I mean, it's easier to teach defense than offense. Yeah.
So why did... Like they're gonna have a huge problem in their PK because that guy they just got rid of, what's his name? The guy that didn't score for a whole year, 1 year.
Who?
Sheehan? Riley Sheehan.
Riley Sheehan.
He was like their PK center. Why don't they fucking Connor McDavid just work on his PK? Like,
and
I know
get him
awful.
a ton of breakaways on the. On the
yeah,
PK.
Like why don't they make him?
Connor does play PK.
I think he plays PK. I think he Dreisaitl will play minutes there.
Okay.
But I think it's probably not the best use of their abilities. I will say that.
Probably
I don't
not.
Think I. I don't
but
think
they don't have any other centers.
I don't think either of them are very good because they're intentionally cheating.
Yeah, just because they're good players, just because they're centers and things like that, doesn't mean that you should be playing McDavid on your PK because he's a good skater.
But who else are they going to play?
He's not good defensively. You don't want that kind
of PK.
The Oilers
don't really have anyone good defensively. That's the issue, right? They just got Kyle Turris as their third line center. So now their three best centers on that team, none of them can play defense.
Our defense.
Yeah.
Exactly.
McDavid, awful. Draisaitl, awful. Kyle Turris, awful. And Kyle Turris isn't even great offensively to begin with. So it's not like he's going to make it a lot better because of...
And they improved their defense with Tyson Barrie.
And they got worse defensively on their defensive end with Tyson Barrie. So they're going to have it. They probably won't have many issues scoring next season than they didn't have any this season with McDavid and Draisaitl, but they're going to be allowing a lot of chances against, and they have Mike Smith and net with Mikko Koskinen. And then since it's a condensed season, they'll probably be half and half, or at least 60-40.
I wish. If you're a sports bettor, bet the over.
Yeah, bet the over with the Oilers.
Every game.
Every game. Yeah, actually, that's probably not a bad idea.
I was going to say about the Oilers. I wish they re-signed Athanasiou so they would have had the all-cherry picker line of McDavid, Draisaitl, Athanasiou.
That would be the dream.
standing at the opposing blue line just waiting for a stretch pass.
That deal looks really bad now, eh?
Yeah, 2 seconds for a guy they just let go, yeah.
Yeah, 2 seconds for a guy that they literally only played with for like 15 games or less than that, 10 games. And then never again. And then they just let him go for free, I guess. Because
they didn't have space. Like, Turris is significantly cheaper than Athanasiou is going to be.
If only someone could predict that Zach Cassian's deal and Chris Russell's deal might cause Edmonton problems in the future. If only that was somehow possible. If someone were able to look into the future.
Man, and Chris Russell's getting more money than Tyson Barrie this year. That's funny. That a year like this really shows the bad contracts.
Yeah, it really highlights them. it highlights them to such a degree where it like it makes it even funnier how everyone's saying this deal was bad, this deal was bad. It makes every one of those bad deals look even worse. Like
and yet
James Neal, like
look Calgary at that still signed a really bad deal this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
On really like the year of COVID, they managed to sign a guy really like still overpriced, overpay him.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty impressive. Like they the 1 year that almost no teams are overpaying guys to a significant degree, Calgary still managed to overpay a guy to a significant degree.
Yes.
And now all those contracts on the Oilers that everyone complained about them signing for so long are biting them back in the ass. They lost 2 second-round picks, which is brutal. I'd like to see what those 2 second-round picks turned into.
It's probably
anyways,
a trade.
That is our review.
No, we're not done. We're not done.
We are done. There's nothing else, Martin.
No. I want to talk about Philadelphia again, Eric Gustafson.
And we need to talk about St. Louis.
Oh my God. What could they possibly have done?
What do you mean?
Quickly.
I don't have
2 minutes,
okay.
Martin.
Okay. I just don't understand why Philadelphia signed Eric Gustafson. It doesn't make sense. All he does is offense, and they already have Shane Gostisbehere to do that.
And Shane Gostisbehere already gets benched by his coach and not played a lot by his coach because his coach does not like those all offense defensemen.
Okay. There we go.
And then Torrey Krug to St. Louis.
Just straight disrespectful to Petrangelo.
Yeah. Because Torrey Krug's making $1 million less than Petrangelo. Take that.
All right. We don't want our captain. We'll give Falk this money. We'll give Krug this money.
Scandella that money. Not even Petrangelo. Give it to Krug and give it to Falk and give it to Scandella. All three of those guys together are making almost $19 million against the cap.
And we still haven't paid Vince Dunn, our best defenseman.
Oh my God.
What?
Yeah.
We have zero money left.
Or second best, depending on Parayko, I guess.
Yes.
You
have no money.
How much cap space do they have?
Zero. It says on Cap Friendly right now.
Oh my God.
Kyle Clifford ate up the last million.
St. Louis,
nothing against Kyle Clifford.
Never going to repeat in the next,
team, yeah. With this team, I don't see them competing again. They kind of blew it over the last two.
They fucked up.
Well, Binnington is kind of like maybe a one-hit wonder, too.
Yeah. Kind of seems.
If you're a smart team, you get St. Louis's 2021 first-round pick.
Okay, so we're calling it now. Any teams, go and grab Vancouver, St. Louis, Islanders.
And Ottawa's is always safe, too.
Well, yeah. Ottawa's not giving it fucking up.
Remember when they traded their first round pick for Matt Duchene?
Ottawa is quite clearly tanking again, like based on their signings.
Hey,
you know who's first
with round that trade of Matt Murray?
What? Oh, yeah.
Well, I guess they think Nashville is the goalie of their future or something.
Nashville? Smashville?
Yeah.
What about
Matt Murray is a safe bet for a good goalie.
No, he's not. The guy had like an 898 save percentage.
It's because he had so many miles on him in the previous 2 years.
And to get Nashville a guy like that, 6.25 million?
Are the first round picks you want, Eric?
Because Doug Wilson thinks San Jose is a cup contender, or at least a playoff team, according to his latest interview, and therefore must be willing to trade a first-round pick to win now. So clearly he already made the mistake, but he might be willing to make it again. Who knows? He traded
San Jose, though, you have to give them credit. They have the most players that are expendable that have the most playoff experience because they've been there so many times, they've just never won. So...
Hey,
they have a valuable asset
there. Hey, Ty, how do you feel about this? I saw somewhere that apparently Leafs players have been calling Thornton to tell him how great it is to be a Leaf.
Thornton can suck.
Yeah, you
get
to live with constant disappointment. And
yeah,
he's used to it in San Jose, eh?
Yes, that's a good point.
There's even worse.
It's a very good point. They get closer and then then you do even worse. So I guess.
If they're signing Thornton to replace Kerfoot, it's a huge mistake.
Oh, yeah. That's a huge mistake for sure. Kerfoot's a better player. But if they're signing Thornton just because they're signing Thornton, I'd love it.
Someone's got to leave. They don't have the space even at like league minimum.
Yeah, if Thornton wants to know how good it is to be a Leaf, why doesn't he just ask his best friend Marlowe?
Who we forced out of the city?
Opinion of the Leafs right now when they've traded him and a first round pick for nothing.
Yeah. San Jose is kind of interesting.
Yeah, they could rebound.
Dubnyk signing it could be a little sneaky. Like he could have a rebound.
I don't know about that, man.
Listen, there's no worse option than Martin Jones, okay? So
yeah.
If there was a worse option than Martin Jones, it was Devin Dubnyk.
Subban.
No, I think it's like
Martin Jones
or Devin Dubnyk.
Corey Schneider.
No, I think it's honestly Devin Dubnyk was the only guy, the only starting goalie they could have gotten that was worse than Martin Jones.
Jake Allen.
That's why the move is so impressive to me. It was like they could have went and grabbed anyone. And they decided we're going to get the one goalie in the league that played worse than Martin Jones last season.
They could have gotten Lundqvist.
This is true. Like, and they signed Patrick Marleau again.
Yeah,
Lundqvist, the unplayable goalie, according to Ty.
Unplayable, you'll see.
Everyone follow Ty on TikTok. He's got a nice video of his ass twerking.
God, that was disturbing.
I didn't post that video. That was Gautham posted. Oh, that. I sent it to you.
Can you post it?
No.
Oh,
I'm not posting that on TikTok.
Eric, I'll send it to you. You post it on your story, okay?
The WAP one? Ty doing the
no, 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 no,
no, no. It's a different one.
Is it Gautham?
Gautham did
it's
his.
It's Ty twerking, though.
Gautham did his, and I did. Yeah, I did mine.
Oh, you did your, the like.
Dude. No, not that one. I did one of the other TikTok dances. You know that guy? It's like the meme where it's like the guy. It's like he's. It's that Chris Brown song, the new one. No guidance. And he's thrusting his hips.
That's not a new song, Ty.
Whatever. I'm talking old. About the...
I have the audio here. One second.
Yeah, play it.
And he's like thrusting his hips. It's like a meme video.
Oh, this one, yeah.
Oh, wait. I'll send it in the group. And then maybe you can post it on your story.
No, you can post it on your story, bitch. You have more quote than talking hockey.
I just have more friends from high school.
Oh, geez.
All right, and with that, Ty twerking his butt. It's not even twerking. He's humping the air.
I'm thrusting my hips.
He's thrusting that hips. It's that meme one. Thank you, everyone. Actually, Ty, do the outro.
Thanks for listening to episode 33 of the Talking Hockey Podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. I know I did.
Wow.
Wow, that was lame. That was so lame.
Well, I'm ending the recording, so it doesn't get a second shot.